number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Good evening, Tony D with you here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight on a night where Oklahoma City, did they make a statement tonight? I don't know. It's game one. I don't want to go overboard. I liked what I saw in the second half. Let's just wait and see before we start thinking Oklahoma City is going to win this series. I've seen these kind of things happen many, many times. We just saw it in the last series the Thunder were in when the Spurs routed them by 30-plus points in Game 1, only to lose four out of the next five to the Thunder. I don't want to make a big deal about this, but I think there was something to this game. And it does make me believe we're going to have a really good 6-7-game series. There are two things that I took away from this game tonight, two major things. One, Oklahoma City is for real. Oklahoma City is a championship quality team. I don't know if they'll win the championship. I don't know even if they'll go to the championship. But the idea that they are, you know, just not quite on Golden State's level, I think that's pushed aside. I think they are on Golden State's level. I still think the Warriors win the series, but I think Oklahoma City has the tools in place to win an NBA title. And I wouldn't have said that during the regular season because they collapsed so many times during the fourth quarter that I thought it was an epidemic. I thought it was something to be concerned about. And they just didn't look the part at times. And I know the regular season is long. It's 82 games. There's not a lot. Sometimes you just don't take that much into what goes on in the regular season. And you do want to get to the regular season where you see how your team responds to playing in a series and making adjustments in a series. So I understand all that. But there were times where the Thunder did not look like a championship quality team. And that's why people were pegging them in the game, after the game against San Antonio in game one, when people started saying, hey, Durant may want to leave. If he wants that ring, he may want to leave. Well, I think that's all pushed aside now because I think this is a series that's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be very, very competitive. I still think the Warriors emerge, but I loved what Oklahoma City did in responding to a 14-point deficit and how they stayed big, refused to go small, used that size to their advantage, and was able to disrupt Steph Curry's shooting. Russell Westbrook was great tonight on that end of the floor. And he was great on the offensive side in the second half after struggling in the first. He finished with 7 steals tonight. He finished with 12 assists. It was an all-around great effort in the second half that put the Warriors away. And that, look, when the Warriors are up 14, that usually is the death knell for teams, especially at Oracle. You're not coming back against a team that won 73 games. You're at least not supposed to. So Westbrook has 24 points in the second half. He finished with 27 overall. Again, 12 assists, 7 steals. Durant has 28, and Durant was cold for a lot of the fourth quarter until he hit a big bucket.
I don't know if you've looked at the schedule, but they have 3 days off after game two. They don't play again until Sunday. They play Wednesday, and they don't play again until Sunday.
NBA, what, we're going to push this till July? What is going on?
Well, and what doesn't even make sense is, okay, so Toronto-Cleveland open up tonight, Tuesday night. Then they play Thursday. Then they play Saturday. So they're playing every other day. So I don't know if the NBA is like, well, they got to go from Golden State to Oklahoma City, so they need 2 extra days off.
I hate this. I do too. Here's why. Have you seen an NBA team travel?
Right.
I mean, their jet is gutted out, and there's practically beds in this thing. It is an apartment in the sky. They go on these things, and it is beyond a luxury jet. They sit in huge chairs. There is a buffet of food. There's anything that they want, any sort of drink or juice or whatever cocktail they need, like smoothie cocktail. Whatever they need is on that plane. They can get it anytime they want, how much of it they want. Stop this whole, like, listen, when I travel from Nashville to Los Angeles, I'm sitting behind Melvin, the shoe salesman, and Martha, who hasn't seen her grandkids in 3 years. And I'm stuck in the middle, and I can't get my book, and I'm squashed, and I'm traveling in a different time zone, and I'm flying coach, and I got to wait for my bags. Then I got to go to the rental car counter. I got to fight traffic, get to my hotel. Then I got to check in. I got to stand in line. That's not what these guys do. They land on the plane. As soon as they land, they're given their key to the hotel. There's an advance team. When the Celtics and Lakers used to go back and forth, it was a little bit different. It was a little bit, they still went charter, but it was a little bit different. Now they travel in luxury. And so the idea of got to give them a break. I don't know. I know the NBA is trying to maximize TV exposure. Friday night or Saturday night? There was no games on.
It was Saturday.
Saturday. There was no games on a Saturday. And I was like, oh, man, this stinks. I was like, I was really looking forward to watching some hoops.
It's crazy to me that Toronto-Cleveland is going to play game three before the Warriors-Thunder
play game three.
The Warriors-Thunder played first.
Maybe the Toronto Raptors have a deal with the NBA. Like, okay, cool. We're really excited. And if you could wrap this up as quickly as possible, that would be great for us. So we could get Drake back home and doing what he does best.
We're sick of dealing with Drake.
Yelling on their sidelines and acting all goofy and a fool. All right, I got to bring up this next story because when I read this, my first thought when I read this story was, hallelujah, I hope this catches on. And then my second thought was, oh my God, I hope this is not an Onion story and I've been duped. The Atlanta Falcons are building a brand new stadium. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You probably heard about it. Arthur Blank's putting it together. It's gonna bring Super Bowls and championship college football games and all that stuff. Anyway, get this, because I couldn't believe this when I read this. The Falcons have done research, and they have found that the thing that bothers people the most when they go out to a game is the expensive food. So they are creating a menu of food items where you'll be able to feed a family of four at a football game in Atlanta for under $28. $28 and a family of four can be fed. Is this an Onion story? Please tell me this is actually going down so I don't have to bring a mortgage statement to feed my family at sporting events. Hot dogs will be $2. Waffle fries will be $3. Refillable soft drinks, get this, $2. What is this, 1972? When was the last time a soda at an NFL game was $2 and refillable? The Falcons have done their research and said, there is no reason for this. There is no reason why a family can't come to our Falcons games and spend less than $30 to feed a family of four. And get this, if you're a restaurant and you buy space in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you also have to keep your prices to within a reasonable proximity of what you charge normally. So let's say you have a barbecue place downtown Atlanta and you charge $3 or $4 for a barbecue sandwich. You buy space in that stadium, you got to charge $3 or $4 for that barbecue sandwich. There can't be all of a sudden that's $10. Do you think this catches on, or do you think the other NFL teams look at Atlanta and go, you fools, you've already got them in the building. What are they going to do, starve to death?
I don't think this catches on at all.
Ugh, that'd break my heart.
I think this will maybe last a year, maybe two in Atlanta. And then they'll be like, all right, the $28 meal, let's go to 56. Double it.
Let me tell you something. My wife, when we go to sporting events, we used to have Vanderbilt season tickets, and we used to go to Predators games and whatnot. We go. My wife is the one that buys the food because I mentally cannot do it. I go nuts. My wife is the one that's okay with part. I'm a media guy, so I'm used to free food and free beverages. But my wife has to do it because I go up there and I go nuts. When I go up and I go, hey, I'll have the kids' chicken basket and a small Sprite, and they go, $8. $8 for three little tiny chicken nuggets, a thing of fries, and a small soda? Yeah, she has to do it all the time. She'll go, trust me, I got it. Don't worry. I know you want a pretzel, and I know you want a hot dog, and I'll don't worry, I'll take care of it. And when she comes back, I go, how much you spent? She goes, none of your business. I'm not telling you. Because she knows I lose it. I hope the Atlanta Falcons keep this. I think you're right, Adam. I think eventually they'll go, what were we thinking? We've got them in the building already. If they're willing to pay $17 for a chicken tender basket with a small Coke, God bless them. We might as well take their money. Because they ain't making any more of it. But I hope this catches on. Because that would be nice for sporting fans. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, before we get to Adam's news of the night, I want to remind you, you can go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show, where you can leave messages, say hi. You can find out what we're doing on that night's show. I want to give a shout out to Jody, who sent me a message regarding the Texas-Toronto brawl. Made some very, very good points. Also, Jared, the same thing. So, you guys, thanks for sending messages. I probably didn't implicate Toronto and Jose Bautista as much as I probably should have. I just looked at it as retaliatory, but I can understand those of you who were at the game and were our Texas Ranger fans seeing it from a Ranger side of things. I didn't implicate Toronto in this as much as I should have. So thanks for pointing that out. All right, let's get to Adam's news of the night. This is the crazy stories that he finds that are beyond the normal headlines. All right, what is story number one?
Story number one actually comes from Darren Ravel on Twitter.
Oh, always a good place to go.
I don't know if you saw this, but the Philadelphia 76ers are the first team in the major sports to sign a deal with a company to put an ad on their jerseys.
Yeah, I saw this and I thought about doing this tonight as a story, but I said, nah, I don't know where to go with it because I understand, but at the same time, I don't want this.
I know. That's kind of where I'm going. Are you a fan of this? Are you looking forward to seeing, you know, little banners across the stomach of the jerseys?
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll probably see three or four of them kind of placed in different areas, and then you'll have the little ones. Like, this is supposedly a little one with StubHub. It's a 3-year deal that will go kind of below the patch of the NBA, where the NBA little patch is.
Don't we agree, though, that this is like getting like a hole in your sweater? You just pick at it enough, and then it becomes a big hole. This is where that little tiny patch becomes a big patch, becomes a bigger patch, and then it controls the whole uniform. So instead of Cavs or Boston on the front or Lakers, you're going to get American Airlines or whatever sponsor is going to be on that, and you're going to end up looking like MLS.
Yeah, or look at the Euro leagues or the leagues right in China. They have it all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, Rachel Nichols made a point on her NBA show tonight. She showed some WNBA players, and she's like, what team do they play for?
Right.
We don't know what team they play for. Look at all these players, and nobody knows. If you buy a jersey of an NBA team, you're not buying a jersey, you're buying ads. You're just buying whatever the Celtics are selling on their uniforms.
I mean,
I don't know. I get it, but I really don't like it. I don't want it to happen.
And especially for me being such a huge baseball fan, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the Yankees or the Cubs or my White Sox jerseys with, you know, StubHub or whatever it is across the back or in the front. I don't want to see that, especially, I mean, baseball uniforms. And then even like the Bears, you know, the Bears have been kind of the same uniform for a long time. I don't want to see a sponsorship on there.
Yeah, you would hope that the owners would say, listen, we always want money and we always want revenue, but for the image of our game, we don't want to ruin these iconic jerseys. These jerseys, some of these jerseys that haven't changed. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
We'd rather represent the cities, but yeah, that's really wishful thinking on my part. that's me living in my naive bubble on how this is really going to go down.
You mean we can get some extra money for that?
Right.
Yeah,
well, okay, really? Whatever. Why not? Yeah. Sure. What city are we play in? Cleveland. Oh, nobody, everyone knows that. Yeah. Screw it. Strap it on. Put a bagel place on it. We're good. Yeah, I think that's where we're heading. So, all right. Story number two.
Story number two comes from Los Angeles this morning. KTLA, Liberty Chan is their meteorologist.
I saw this.
And she had on a black dress. I mean, it pretty small.
Yeah, let's call it negligee, because that's what it looked like.
That's what it did look like. And middle on air, she went over to do her weather, and one of the producers handed her a sweater, told her to put it on, because they were getting emails of people upset with what she was wearing.
Now, from who? From who?
I don't. They actually, there's a video. If you go to screengrabber.com, this part of Deadspin, you can go to the Deadspin story and go to this. They actually have a video of the anchors going through emails, and they kind of, and Twitter, also on Twitter, tweets of people, and they call out names, and they say, you know, people saying she looked like she is still wearing the same dress from last night's cocktail party.
And stuff, like she took the walk of shame to the studio?
Yeah, and she just decided not to change. And just like, let's just keep rolling this. Let's go.
She's stumbling at 4 o'clock in the morning to the studio. I got to get on the air. I got to do the weather. Oh, my God, that's funny.
I mean, yeah. I will say.
And then she said, they gave her the sweater, and they said, you have to put this on. And she goes, really?
Yeah. Why? Like, what?
And then we're getting emails. She goes, really?
Yeah, I like when she gets over there, and all of a sudden you just see this sweater appear and an arm, and she's like, yeah. What's going on?
What do I do with that? We have to put it on. You have to wear it.
Oh, why?
I'm the kind of guy, if I was on TV, I would be just waving that off. Yeah. Like, I don't know, what are you doing? I'm not putting that. No. Continue. It's sunny over here in the Apple Valley, and then moving over to Santa Monica, it'll be 72 degrees. Brightly sunny skies over here in San Diego. You are going to get a little bit of rain, but not that much. Turn the sweater on. Put the sweater on. No, she did. That was great.
And I will say, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. I didn't have a problem with what she was wearing.
TV, what do you want? How many times have we said, and most guys say, oh, she's on TV because she looks good, right? Like, I mean, it's not, I know it sounds sexist, but sometimes you just know, right? You just go,
yes.
That woman is on TV because she is attractive. She is reading me the news. I mean, Fox News has models telling me what the Dow is, for crying out loud. And you know that's how television works. And then they go, oh, yeah, but you know what? We like you pretty, but we also want you to put on the granny sweater. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a weird industry.
Now, I don't know if you've seen weather, and not even just weather, but they always show the weather ones. You go to Mexico or, you know, Central America or even to Europe. They wear, some places they wear bikinis.
Sure.
Like little bikinis. Or, you know, very, you know, see-through shirts. I mean, it's crazy.
Get a little excited and find out whether or not you need a coat for the weather forecast. Yeah. Well, I thought it was very humorous. I
did too, yeah.
I loved watching it.
I liked her reaction.
She handled it well.
Yeah, she did.
She handled it a lot better than I would have. Because I would have been like, I don't even know what to do with that sweater. All right, story number three.
Story number three happened in Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, please tell me this is a man in Florida story.
It is a woman in Florida
story. Even
but
better.
But it actually had some men in it also, part of the story. But they were in the ocean swimming, and witnesses say there was a group of people, including the woman, who were antagonizing a baby nurse shark.
Oh, great.
And they were grabbing it by the tail and holding it. Well, shark got mad, bit the lady in the arm, and wouldn't let go.
Well, all right, so this is a baby shark.
Yes, it's a baby nurse shark, just a few feet, 2 feet long.
Now, nurse sharks, from what I believe, are not like great whites. They're
right,
like,
they're not going to tear your arm off.
They eat like coral, and they eat kind of whatever's on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, they sift through sand.
But they don't let go. I'm sure they've got some powerful jaw muscles, and they're not leaving.
So what happened was she got bit in the arm, and one of the men that was with her killed the shark somehow, but it stayed attached, so she had to go to the hospital with the shark still attached.
Oh, my God. Did that guy get fined or anything for killing a baby shark? I hope so, too.
I hope so.
All that baby shark wanted to do was protect itself, and that stupid man killed it, and it wasn't even his fault. He is doing what baby sharks do, and he killed a baby shark.
And I'm glad that lady got bit.
I'm glad she got bit, and I hope that guy gets fined or whatever they do down there for killing baby sharks. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We go around Major League Baseball. A little light night on Monday. Usually it's a day after the weekend where teams may be traveling, setting up series for Tuesdays. But nevertheless, some good games on the card for Major League Baseball. Like in Cleveland, where the Indians beat the Reds 15-6. 19 hits for Cleveland in this one. And the Atlanta Braves, the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Atlanta Braves 8-5 at PNC Park. The Braves still stuck at 9 wins on the season, 9-28. Jeff Francoeur and Kelly Johnson did homer, though, for the Braves, while the Pirates' Matt Joyce had 3 RBIs. All right, the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies. I didn't know this, but everybody except the Braves is in the NL East in terms of the race. They're all separated by like 2 games. The Marlins win tonight over the Phillies 5-3. Jason Bohr homered. Marcell Ozuna also homered for the Marlins. They're 21-17. The Phillies are 22-17. They're all within earshot of the Nationals and the Mets. And it wasn't that long ago we were talking about those two as being the best teams in baseball. So good for them. That could be a fun division all the way down. The Tampa Bay Rays rolled over Toronto. This was Juan Bautista going back home, getting a nice ovation. But the Rays hit 4 home runs. They scored 11 of their runs in the first 4 innings of the game. They had 17 hits. Steve Pierce, Gordon Beckham, Kurt Casale, and Desmond Jennings all homering for Tampa Bay as they win 13-2.
The Blue Jays are in trouble.
They are.
I mean,
they are under 500.
Boston and Baltimore are starting to get away from them a little bit, and you don't want that early in the season. You don't want to get to June and be looking 7-8 games back.
What a weird game in Detroit.
Yes.
Where the Tigers were up 8-0, and then the Twins came roaring back in the game, and the Tigers then hold on for a 10-8 win, but Brad Ausmus went ballistic. And got thrown out of the game and then took his shirt off or took a shirt and put it on the home plate.
Yeah, took his pullover off.
Yes. His pullover and put it on home plate. Is he losing his mind?
I think he knows the end is near unless he can turn this around miraculously. And they can't do it because they don't have pitching.
They don't have pitching, and they spent some money, and they're not getting the results. They're under 500. They scored 8 runs in the first inning.
Yep.
First inning.
I have a buddy who does the pitch tracks for Comerica Park, and he said it was the weirdest game he's ever worked.
It had to have been.
Yeah, he's like, I've never seen anything like this.
You're setting up Zimmerman with an 8-run lead, and he's barely holding on. 2 runs in the second for the Twins. They added 4 in the fourth. They added 1 in the seventh. But the Tigers do get home runs late.
The other thing I thought was weird in this, Zimmerman went 7 innings, gave up 7 earned. He gave up 7 runs between the second, third, and fourth. I don't think I remember a starter really sticking around after giving up 7 runs
in
4 innings.
Exactly.
And then to go another 3 on top of it, is just that was crazy to me.
Ian Kinsler homered for the Tigers. Let's see. Suzuki homered for the Twins along with
Miguel Sano.
Miguel Sano. There you go. I'm trying to read the box score. I'm terrible at reading box scores, by the way. But I thought that game was rather interesting. Brad Ausmus.
Yeah.
How do these guys get just where they just now it becomes a show. Becomes like a Broadway play. Like they're out there doing.
Right. Minor league managers are the best because they into the show.
They'll bring props and dancing acts and all that other stuff.
They're the ones that will grab the entire bag of baseball bats and throw it out on the field and then start throwing ball after ball.
Yeah, exactly. The Arizona Diamondbacks crushed the Yankees 12-2. What else is new there? God, gee, the Yankees. Paul Goldschmidt homered for the Diamondbacks. Let's see. And they pounded out 15 hits in New York. Falls to 16-21. They're terrible. The A's beat Texas 3-1. The LA Angels beat the LA Dodgers 7-6. And Boston and Kansas City postponed due to weather. They'll make that up with a day-night doubleheader on Wednesday. So there's your day in Major League Baseball. There was only 9 games on the slate, as many teams were getting ready for series on Tuesday. Brandon on Twitter at Tony D Radio says the NBA is making it optional when you buy a jersey if you want the one with the ads. Okay. How long do you think that lasts, though? Just out of curiosity.
Does it
right
cost
now, that's
more?
That's good to know.
You got to pay a little extra for it.
Massively inconvenient.
Right.
Or
maybe you get a discount. Who knows?
When we were in New York last winter, my daughter was dying to go into the NBA store. She couldn't wait. We didn't go because my wife's like, we don't have time. But she wanted so badly to go to the NBA store. I said, I can only imagine what they sell on that thing.
Yeah, what's an NBA jersey cost? Like an authentic jersey?
I don't even want to know.
I mean, I would guess somewhere in the 100 to 125 range.
Got
to
be.
So maybe if it's $124.99 for a regular jersey, maybe it's $115 for if you get StubHub on it, if you're getting a Sixers jersey. I don't know who's buying a Sixers jersey, but...
See, my point is, I agree that right now when it's the small patch, I agree with you, Brandon. That's easy to sort of say, yeah, I don't want the one with the little StubHub patch or whatever advertising patch is on there. But what if in 5 years, instead of the word Cavaliers, it's replaced with, you know, United Airlines,
right?
And that's on it, and that's the uniform. And you and the NBA just goes, no, we don't sell Cavaliers because none of our guys wear that anymore. So there you go. Like, you know, you don't buy Manchester United jerseys without whatever Manchester United is sponsored by. Like, I went into a soccer store. I didn't know what uniforms. They had Premier League uniforms, and I didn't know what any of them were. I didn't know what Liverpool was. I didn't know what, and I don't follow the league very well. And I'm sure if I did, I'd know exactly what I was looking for. But that's what it's going to become in a couple of years. Probably not today, and maybe not tomorrow. But years down the line, that's where this is heading. And I don't like it. I hope other owners go, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I'm sure once it gets a little bigger than just the little StubHub patch, but I'm sure companies, you know, say American Airlines, just to use them as an example, if they have a patch on there, I'm sure they're going to pay a little more to say, yes, we want this on the jerseys you sell in your arena, because that gives them more, you know, more advertising when a fan buys it and then he's wearing it to games or out
Absolutely.
On the street.
Yeah, people it's more exposure.
That. Yeah, exactly.
What if I owned a fast food joint? Just for hypothetical. Let's say I owned a fast food joint and it was really popular. It was really popular. And my logo was kind of a tilted star, a rounded tilted star, right? And I went to Jerry Jones and I said, instead of the Cowboys star, I want you to put this star on there and I'll give you $100 million to do it. You would really hope Jerry Jones would go, of course I'm not going to do that. I will never do that. The Dallas star, the Cowboys star, is an iconic symbol. It is a worldwide brand. And I am not going to replace it with your fast food, rounded, slanted star. Even though they're both stars, I have an iconic brand. You would hope that that would be the answer. Now, I understand we're just talking jerseys and we're just talking names, but you would want to think that the Celtics would say, no, forever, all of our players wore jerseys that said Celtics on them, and that's what we would like instead of Jordan's furniture. That's what we want. This isn't Little League where you're the Tito Mexican Restaurant Red Sox, like my son was here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, that you are the Boston Celtics, not, you know, the Glass Doctor Celtics or anything like that.
We didn't even get the name of the team like the Celtics or, you know, when we played baseball, the White Sox or Cubs or whatever. We just had the name of the business.
Yeah, they're right. Exactly.
You know,
Don's Screen Printing for all your printing needs.
You're the VFW. Like, that's what you are. You're not the VFW White Sox or anything. We didn't even get that. We just got the name of the business.
You learned that very early in youth sports that you are beholden to the company that sponsors your logo, your uniforms for the season. That's exactly right.
You didn't go to your buddies and be like, hey, are you on the White Sox? You're like, hey, are you on McDonald's? Or are you on the little furniture store on the corner?
There is a soda in the South called Sundrop.
Yeah,
and all the girls wanted Sundrop. They wanted to be all on the Sundrop team.
Exactly.
Because that it was at least a product they knew. And not some physical therapy place that they've never walked into. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us tonight here on Yahoo Sports Radio. As we continue through the night tonight, talking about Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals as Oklahoma City beats Golden State 108-102. A really entertaining game. I had fun watching it in the second half. I liked it because, Oklahoma City didn't do the typical, hey, we're on the road and we're getting crushed, so let's roll over and die, that we've seen other teams do. This could be a really fun series. This could go seven games. Golden State may not win it. This could be really fun. I don't think the Eastern Conference is going to be fun, and this is no knock on Toronto. I just think this is where LeBron has spent the last 2 years putting together the team he wants. This is what he plays for. All the mileage that he puts on his body during 82 games is to get to this point. Let me tell you something about LeBron James and his success in the postseason. The last time the NBA Finals did not have LeBron James in it was in 2010 when the Boston Celtics played the LA Lakers. That's how far back you have to go to find an NBA Finals that did not have LeBron James in it. He could be going to his sixth straight NBA Finals. This is insane. And it's not getting the kind of attention it should, because I know where people will go with it. Oh, yeah, sure. When you're one of the best players in the game and you're playing in the El Crapito Eastern Conference, of course. Yeah, and you'd be partially right, but it's still an amazing feat. 2010, when the Celtics and the Lakers were good enough to compete for an NBA championship. That was the last time the NBA Finals occurred without LeBron James in it. This is what he does. You put up with a regular season where his teams don't look right at times. And everybody goes, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? And then they get to the playoffs. And then when you really analyze the competition, it's, yeah, nothing's wrong. It's just regular season blues. I mean, look, I looked at all of the drama around the Cavs, and I thought it was serious. I thought there was cryptic messages there. I thought there were things LeBron wanted to say but didn't know how to say them. I think he's really bothered by, Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com told us, I think he's really bothered by all of the attention Golden State gets. He's the alpha dog in this league. He wants to be the best player in this league, and he wants people to give him the attention. But here's the problem with LeBron. This is what he's fighting all the time. You go to an amusement park. What do amusement parks do all the time? All the time. They build new rides, or they build new attractions. Why? Because the ones get stale, even when they're exciting. So somebody brand new going into an amusement park to ride the Incredible Hulk roller coaster may find it awesome. But after 10 years and everybody's rode it, you got to find something new. That's why you get stand-up coasters. That's why you get ones that do double flips. That's why you get ones that hang you off the edge at a 90-degree angle. That's why you get the ones that shoot you from 0 to 128 miles an hour in 3 seconds. You have to change it up. You have to give people reason to come to the party, exciting reasons to come to the party. LeBron doesn't do that. If anything, his game has gotten less spectacular from a box score fan standpoint and more practical, getting his teammates involved. No longer is LeBron the guy that scores 48 points a game. He'd rather score 19 and have Kyrie score 21. That's the kind of player he's become, but he's more effective. So naturally, when you've got a guy in Oakland that's knocking down every single three-pointer he looks at, including stuff from half court or stuff from 35 feet away, that's new, that's exciting, that's good, that's where the eyeballs are drawn. LeBron can't compete with that. LeBron doesn't want to compete with that. LeBron is not interested in being the guy that scores over 30 points a night, knocking down 400 three-pointers in a season to get you to pay attention to him. But he does feel like you should be paying attention to him, because he is putting together a championship quality team in Cleveland. And once again, June cannot be written in the NBA without his presence. You're either going to watch him celebrate or you're going to talk about how you beat him. And you're going to do it for the sixth straight year because, A, the Eastern Conference is no good, but, B, because he's got a really good team, the team he put together, the team that he looked at and said, these are the guys I want to play with. And remember when we thought some of this isn't going to work? Well, it's all working now. Because LeBron knew what everybody in this league who is successful has figured out. You need help. You need help. And if you get the help, make them want it. And LeBron's done that. He's done that with Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving, who's already there, he's done that with a number of other teammates. They all know who they want. Whatever Toronto throws at Cleveland, Cleveland is going to be able to manage. If Kyle Lowry gets out of the shooting slump and scores and shoots well and, you know, 40-something percent, et cetera, LeBron and the Cavaliers are going to be fine. They are multiple threats. If they don't win this in five, I'll be shocked. I'll give Toronto a game. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll give them a game. They have a good home court atmosphere. I barely am going to give them two. In fact, I'm not going to give them two. If they get two, God bless them, but I'm not giving it to them. I'll give them one, but I ain't giving them two. And Cleveland's going to the finals, and LeBron's going to his sixth straight. Let that sink in for a minute. Again, the last time, Celtics-Lakers. Lakers were a championship basketball team. That's the last time LeBron wasn't in the finals. And he's going back. He's going back, and this time he may not have to play Golden State. But that doesn't mean his task is going to be easier if he has to face the Thunder. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. If you listen to this program, we'd love to say hi. I swear I'll say hi right back to you. It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.